introduction on the tape. Okay. Today is March 28th in the year 2001, and I'm at the home of Aniceto Guilmette, also known as Chichi.
No,
Sheshe. Sheshe, that's what I thought. And in the paper it says pronounced Chichi.
Sheshe.
That's what I thought. To talk with him about his work in the Merchant Marine and his skills as a miniature or model maker of ships. And this is for the Massachusetts Cultural Council's Folk and Traditional Arts Program. My name is Laura Orleans, and I'm the interviewer. First, I wanted to take a minute and just talk a little bit about your family and your background a little bit. Where were you born?
Me?
Yes.
I was born in the Brava, Cape Verde Island.
And
Island of Brava.
Island of Brava. Mm-hmm. Was there a village or a town in Brava that?
A small island. Yeah. One of the small on the Cape Verde Island.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
you can. So, what was the town or the village where you grew up?
the Cove de Chouan.
Uh-huh.
Cove de Chouan.
And what year were you born?
I was born 1915.
Okay.
And I come into this country when I was 19 years old.
Okay. Yeah. Now you started to say about your name that everybody calls you Sheshe.
They don't know my name is Aniceto. Sometimes a lot of friends, when they write me that, they put Sheshe.
And how did you get that nickname?
Through my the family.
Uh-huh.
When I was born, and they named me after my grandfather. So this woman on the family said, oh, Aniceto is a name, you know, too heavy for, you know. I said, let's call him Sheshe.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
After that, they call me Sheshe, but my real name is Aniceto Guilmette. Mm-hmm.
Did you go to school when you were on Brava in the old country?
Yeah. I went to school. And in the Brava, when you were 12, 14 years old, you finished school.
Uh-huh.
You got to go outside the Brava to go, you know, like high school or college. You got to go to Lisbon, or you got to go one to the island.
And for you, when you were, how old were you when you stopped the school?
I was about 12 years old.
What did you do then?
Work on a farm.
Was a farm where your family worked?
Family, and we had a farm. That's where we lived in there. Because we work on your farm, and after you finish the month of May, April, May, everything is inside the house. We put them away for the winter, for the next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So your father was a farmer?
My father was here all the time. My father was here, used to go to our country every 6 years. So, my father was gone. When 1920, he was going to your country. On June, he was going from here, from the States to the old country. He died in May. Died in May on board the ship, because he's a seaman too.
Mm.
Yeah. And then I got a brother here, my older brother. My older brother was here, you know this. And then he went to your country. He come back. He sent for me. You know.
Did you have one brother or more than one?
He just passed away a few years back.
Did you have other brothers and sisters?
No, I had a twin sister.
Uh-huh.
My mother had two sets of twins, a boy and a girl. Mm-hmm. My twin sister's still alive.
Living in here?
Yeah, living here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now tell me the name of your mother and the name of your father.
Yeah. My name is my father, Marcelino Guilmette. Mm-hmm. And because he used Marcelino Amy Guilmette, Matthews Guilmette. my mother also is Guilmette, but they're not family. But my mother spelled Guilmette with one T. we spelled Gilmet to my father with double T-E. Mm-hmm. You see?
And were both of your parents born in the old country, in Brava?
My mother born there.
And your
father?
My father
born over there, you know. Okay. Then you come in with your young fella, you know, those days. Uh-huh. They stay here for quite a few years.
So your father died when you were a baby, is that right?
I was about, I said 7 years old, mm-hmm. something like that.
And then were you living with just your mother or grandparents?
Yes, my mother.
Yeah.
My mother, so we used to work on the farm. And,
did your family own the farm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
And was it a farm of, with animals or just
no,
crops?
No, no. Just, you know, we put the corn, the beans, all stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when the, after the November thing like that, we started taking corn or something like that, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And go like that.
Now, you mentioned that you had some family that did some whaling back.
Yeah.
Tell
me
about that.
My grandfather, it was either, in those days, I think 18 something. See, my mother born, 1898, something like that. Yeah. And my grandfather was in the whaling ship. When you're coming over here, you know, those days, the whaling ship don't pay much money. When they're coming over here, what they was telling me about it, and they pay all the things they buy on the ship, like clothes and gloves and things like that, and a lot of things, slop chest. And when they come here, practically, when they pay off of that, they ain't got nothing. So they can't raise the family over here. And so he shipped out my mother and my aunt, my uncle, the old country. So they went there, they get together, they used to work the farm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then we had a good living, you know, just because we had a farm and things like that. Yeah.
And you said that you came to the United States when you were about 15? No, 19.
19. I get here when 19 years old. I was 19 years old.
Mm-hmm. And why did they leave Brava? Why did you leave Brava?
Why I leave the Brava? Because, hey, you can't work on a farm. Because everything go from the United States to the Brava.
Mm-hmm.
See? And so all the money, my father was over here, he working, he sent the money. We built a house, he built a house, he buy the land, you know. Because when they retire, they go back there, they stay there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
So you left Brava. Were you alone or were you with your
brothers? No, I left Brava when I was alone. I come in to the country. And
How did you travel from Brava to the
United States? I get out of the Brava on a Portuguese boat to Lisbon. And from Lisbon, we stayed in Lisbon 7.5 days. And then from Lisbon to England, we have a England boats, you know, big boat. We come into Liverpool, England. From there, we stay 2.5 days. They connect us with the United States line, which is the Manhattan. We get here, we stop on an island, and we get here in a few days.
When you say you stopped on the island, on Long Island?
No,
no,
the island.
Oh, the islands.
Ireland.
Ireland, thank you.
Then
and did you come directly to New Bedford?
No, because my brother used to live in New York, so I stayed with him, you know. And after I ship out, you know, I got job on the boat. Then I had family here in New Bedford, and my uncle, and so he liked to see me because I was born the other side in heaven. So I come in to see him, and I stay with him for a while, and then I went back on the ship.
Now, when did you actually join the Merchant Marine? Right away?
Right away.
From New York?
I come in May and June. And in June, I had a ship out.
And what was your first job on the ship?
My first job was a wait on the table for the crew, you know. And we get up in the morning about 7, you see. We get up about 5 o'clock in the morning, set the table, we feed the crew breakfast, then we clean up all the rooms, I mean the mess rooms and things like that, and then the cook make us peel the potatoes or do something like that, you know. And when the dinner coming, and we go down, take the food down to serve it, not for dinner. We serve 2 meals a day. Then the supper, after supper, we go to bed or read or do something like that, you know.
And how long did you work in doing that work?
I work
until you changed positions.
Yeah, I work. Three years on that job. Then my brother used to be on the Exxon and used to travel all over, no? So he come in on vacation and he told me, he says, when I'm going back, I'm going to ask the boss and to take you with me. And as a cook, I say, hey, I don't know how to cook. And my brother says, if I going to work for those guys and get drunk, stay in bed, I can work for you to teach you. So when he come back, he went in the company, and the boss said, well, go ahead, send for him as a second cook. Second cook do the bake, you do the vegetables, you clean up the galley. All right? So I went with him in the ship, and in the June, and in October, my brother leave the ship, he went to your country. I stayed in that ship for 13 months, because every year we take a vacation. Every year we get 15 days of vacation. So I said, well, I wait till my brother come from your country. And we spent a few days together. He would tell me all about the old country. So my boy asked when they come back, and I take a vacation. I stay a few days, a week time in New York with him. I come into the bedroom to see my uncle. And then I stay with my uncle maybe about 2 or 3 weeks. Then I went back to New York. Then we ship out again. We ship out together again. And 1939, the company had a strike. They had struck the company for more money. So we had the union. When we get strike going on, hey, we got to get out of the boat. All the crew said, we got to get out of the boat. They be sure all of us are going to be scared on them. To get out of the boat. We get out of the boat. And it was the Baton Rouge, Louisiana. See? And we went on the picket line. But over there, kind of strange, we said to the officer there, says, wait, we got to go to New York, but we got to have a pay. This time we come in picket line in New York. When we come into picket line in New York, my brother come right to Boston. Me, I stayed in New York. A friend of mine, was my cousin, get me a job on an excursion boat. Mm. Excursion boat as a cook. And we used to run the Bay Mountain all different places, like with the passenger. Then we had the moonlight go in the night. With the passenger, the boat come back to the battery pack and maybe about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. See? Yeah. What I used to do, I used to cook, order like, people order like, you know, something to eat. The waiter coming down, he says, hey, we will get order here. So I prepared the water, he take it. And then I said, I'm a young fellow. I says, this job here don't pay. Because every night I'm on the shore and spend money, I don't save money here. Mm-hmm. So I went back to the company. When I went back to the company, they gave me a job that day.
Was the strike still going on or was it all finished?
No. See, when I worked for the excursion boat. So that day they had I had day off. The day off, they paid me. So I said, I went back. That time was Standard Oil, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And so I went back. They hired me again. They says, yeah. The boss says, this, they can go past the dock today, be ready to ship out. Come back. So yeah, I give him a ticket, I went, I passed the dock, I come back, they put me in the pay. I got two pay that day. One for the excursion boat, one for the stand, two pay. So I went back to the excursion boat. I tell them, I say, hey, I'm finished, I'm gonna change the job. So they make my check till that day. So I come and I start in Standard Oil, New Jersey. I worked till about, let me see, 41, 42. Mm-hmm. And when the...
Still as a cook at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they attack Pearl Harbor. When they attack Pearl Harbor, and we went to load, our boat used to be white. They take all those dark paint, they spread. I said, oh my gosh, it looks terrible, mm-hmm. You know? And just like somebody's dead. Well, what are you gonna do?
Now who sprayed the boat?
The company.
The company, to
because,
keep it.
Because when we ship is light like that, the submarine can, you know. So from there we come back to Boston. When we come to Boston, who was in, my brother was in a coal boats, used to run the Bedford, mm-hmm. Boston, Providence. His boat was in the stream in Boston. He take the lunch, he went, he says, hey! He says, get out of this ship, it'd be danger. He said, we got another job for you. So, when he said, another job for you, when I get to the dock, I tell my boss, I said, look, they called me to the army. I go past the dock, ready to ship out. Oh, no, you can't go, you can't go. You know, the company get to the firmament and all that stuff like that. I said, no, I'm going to the army. That's the only way I get out of there. Mm-hmm. So I had all my bag packed up. So I went to the captain. I said, Cap, I got to get out. I'm going to the army. He said, oh, that's too bad. They make my pay. Well, I grab my suitcase. I take off that ship. And then they had a relief for me. Me and the relief to get board the ship, I take off. I said, if you see the ship around, they don't like, I got to stay here. So I went. And then maybe in a few days, they give me a job on the coal boat. And so I went on the coal boat. I worked there for about 4 years. In 1944, I quit the coal boat. Because today, I stayed there 2 days, you know, when they load all those coal, those fine things, I'd be all over. I said, nah, I'll go back to the oil tank.
And what was your job on the coal boat?
On the coal boat, I was a cook.
Cook.
Yeah, I was chef cook. You know.
You must be a good cook.
Yeah. So then I went back, let me see, on the coal boat, and I quit. I went to New York. I know the boss is good. I said, well, I'll come and look for the job. He says, yeah, we can use you. And in a week time, we'll ship you out. I said, well, let me see. So I went back to my brother's apartment. I stayed there. This friend of mine coming, you know, there. He used to work for Gulf Oil Company. And he says, hey, I want you to go in the office with me. I said, me going in the office? Ah, of course. He said, come on, you don't do nothing. You sleep all night. He said, let's go. He said, look, I'm going in there. They're going to offer me the job. I ain't going to take it. I don't want to work for the Gulf. So I went with him. When I went into the office, he started introducing me to all his boss in there. He said, what are you doing? He said, well, he's a cook. He said, well, we can't use him. I said, no, I got another job. And then he went come back again. He said, look, we got a ship coming today from Persian Gulf. And that ship been out for about 8 months. And all the crew is going to get off. We need a new crew. And he's going to ship you out for a month. And I said, well, ship you out for a month, you know, right here in New York? He says, are you going to be in the pay, subsistence? I said, I go. If I, in a month's time, if I don't like, I get out. So I went on the ship, and then the boat we take, but the ship was on stream, you know, anchor, wait for, to clean up to go to shipyard. When the boat we take from the dock to get to the stream, there were in a store, and they had, I never forget that, pork chop and something. So I was going to be the cook. You know, go there, we're going to be the cook, because the other gangs all get out. When we get aboard that ship, I never see things like that. That stove, you got a stove, oh, but this big here with the two burn, one outside, one inside here. When I get in the galley, I look like that. I say, how are they cooking this thing here? Mm-hmm. It's just like you throw a torpedo on it, you know, blow them out. I says, no, this thing don't like, it's no good. So they said, all right, we pay subsistence. Don't cook, we pay. You used to eat, sure, you know. So we went to the shipyard. When we get to shipyard, we stay there. Quite a month or a little more than a month. I fix the ship. Friend of mine come in. Not a friend, because the other one was relieving on a harbor. When the ship, those days when the ship come from England to the state, and all the crew, they got day off or whatever it is, so they had another crew relieve them while the ship is in port. So that was his job. This friend of mine come in. Ah, you're going to stay with me? No, we're I said, well, I don't want to. Oh, yeah, by the way, the Shanghai me not ship. And the day before we sail, that guy went from the stern to the middle ship. And on the way back, on the middle ship, we call gangway, he something when it is big, it falls down. When it falls down, then he come in again and said, what's the matter with you? He said, I just fall down. I couldn't stand up. So I said, go in the room with him, because our room is just crossing the gap. Go in the room, sit down there. I said, let me see, maybe your ankle's not right. Let me push it straight up. Ah, boy, you can see the stars. Oh, oh, oh. I said, okay. So the next morning, we supposed to sail in that day. An agent come on board. He said, we're going to send them to the hospital, see what's what, because his leg was swollen. When they sent him to the hospital, no, he can't make the trip. Can't make the trip. And this guy, the Spanish guy, come in to relieve him. The guy was happy because I'm there, you know, I can understand Spanish and this and that. And he used to be relieved too, but he's got to make a trip. So I make two trips. Boy, everybody is so nice to me. Even they kept coming. How's the cook this morning? You know, let me make you. Everybody, you know, engineer, everybody was just like family. I make two trips. I said, no, it's not for me. I'm going to get out of this ship. I don't know how to get out. When I get in the, I told him, I says, my wife was very sick, well, she was very sick. I says, I got the letter, and I got to get out. And the boss coming aboard the ship, he says, well, you're going to get out. You're going today. I said, we're going to stay 2 days here. You're going home, see your family, and you come back tomorrow. Says, I'm going to take a trip off. And, they come and talk. And I said, no, I make up my mind. I says, if I make a trip like that, I'm going to lose a wife. So they said, okay, they didn't arrange. They give me a trip off. When they get to Port Arthur, Texas, the captain write me a letter. He says, we going to north, but I can't tell you where because we're not to give you information because they're doing the war. Mm. He said, but get contact with the office. They'll direct you to the ship. I get the letter. I say, hey, I'm not going back there. When they get to New York, and my boss called, didn't you get the letter from the captain? I says, yeah, but I can't go back because I'm sick too. Oh, you know, this and that. I said, no, I'm not going back. Maybe another trip or so. And
let me ask you a little bit about what you did when you had spare time. Was there spare time on the ships?
Spare time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious, I think it mentioned in the article that you made some of your models while you were actually on the ship.
Yeah, yes, I make the model. And it's that's just come in because when I changed the ship.
Uh-huh. Okay. Keep
when
going.
I changed the then I went back the SO.
Mm-hmm.
When I went back to the SO, we ran from Caribbean to Australia. Mm-hmm. You know, from Caribbean to Australia, when you finish you give it the supper, hey, you just like daylight here, see? And because the time it was day every day the clock when I went back or hit 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
I say, yeah, you can't play cards and things like that. You get sick in that. I say, there's no television, there's no radio. I said, I got to do something. So one sailor come in, I said, thank you. I says, I like to have this wood. He says, cook, no wood on this ship. I said, oh, okay. So then, I don't know, one day he come back, he's coming with 2x4. 2x4, he says, hey, I got a piece of wood for you. I said, oh, that's good. So I take that piece of wood, every day I started shaping up. And when I was shaping out, everybody was interested. And the supper, I sit down in the room, start work. When I put away, they say, oh, come on, do some more. Very interest. I said, that's enough for today. I said, tomorrow. And every night I...
Okay.
I said, what? And then we went to Australia. We come back to Long Beach, California. And the ship was going Persian Gulf. From Persian Gulf, the road to the state. All of my friends is, oh, they're going to quit. I said, I ain't going to stay on this ship either. I'm going with you guys. So we get out in Long Beach, California. We take a train back home. When I get out on the dock, I come in with a boat is down in the hand. One of the men in the gate, oh, that's pretty. Oh, that's pretty. So I bring home. We take a train from Long Beach to. When we get to take a train from California, and those days it's hard to get train because they're all booked out. Mm-hmm. Finally we had it. I don't know, somehow we get to get on that train. We come up, we stop in Chicago, come back to New York, then home.
And you had this model.
Yeah, I had this model.
Now you finished the model on the ship?
Yeah.
And what was the model?
The wood, I even had a piece of, you know, a turkey tendon for the leg. I make, because there's no wood, I put in that model on it to finish it.
Now what was the ship that you were making, that first ship?
The...
What kind of ship was that?
That was the Baron Hill.
And was that the first model that you ever made in your life?
No. I was built away by the old country.
Now,
I used to build ship.
So tell
build
me,
those models.
Okay, when did you start to make models?
After that, I started built over here. That's what you see down there, you know.
Okay, well, let's go back to when you were a child. When did you first make a model?
I was about 14 years old. 14 years old, I used to make model of the shingles,
mm-hmm.
You know, model the shingles, and we have a corn husk. We put a mass, we put corn husk like that. We eat an island. We don't put that on the ocean and things like that. You know, there's pearl on the ground. You got wind, we put it like that, over that ship. And go like that, go the other way. I used to make even for the kids,
uh-huh.
You know. Oh, we used to have a nice time like that.
So you used to race them with your friends?
Mm-hmm. Then after that, you know, in our country we had the balsawood. But the balsawood is a tree, and it was green. I used to go far away, I cut the balsawood, and I cut the tree, and maybe pieces like that, I bring home, let them dry a little bit. Then I started carving, you know.
How did you learn to do this, the carving? Was there somebody in your family or who you watched?
We had old man live my neighbor. He was old, you know, you couldn't even see it right. But he used to make the whaling ship. And they make the whaling ship, they send from our country, we eat on the Bedford. His son used to sell it. I think he even had one museum. He used to sell maybe for $10-$15, send him that money over there, mm-hmm. You know. I used to watch him, see? And then...
Do you remember his name?
Yeah.
What was his name?
John Bowers, you know.
And he was a Cape Verdean man from Brava. He was a Cape Verdean man?
Yeah.
From Brava.
Yeah. And so he used to make those ships. He used to be keeping the crew for the ship. He knew nothing, even though the paint, you know, things like that, it was good. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you couldn't see right, you know, to trade in it. We watch him, because he was a tough man, you know, he don't like the kids to haul outside and things like that. They put him with something like that, couldn't make it. Like that, couldn't make it. And we used to whistle. Hey, he gets so mad, he said, get. He swear, you know. He said, come, he said, you can get out of here. And,
did he ever let you help him?
No. Only son would do those things. But when the son is not home, he try himself because you want to finish him. Yeah. I used to watch him. Mm-hmm. But after that, when I come into the state, you know, I started on the war. You know, that's the one I show you that. Mm-hmm. I started on the war. Mm-hmm. And I started getting interest on it. And
how did you have tools when you were on the ship? What did you borrow tools from?
Pair of knife. Uh-huh. Potato knife. Uh-huh. Nobody believed that. Potato knife. Yeah. Potato knife. Yeah. Well, that was the story.
Now tell me a little bit about all of these other models that you've made. You made the one that was on the ship. Did you make others when you were on the ships?
I made, let me see. We used to run from Aruba to Caribbean or to Brazil. Mm-hmm. I make two. Those is the freight ship combination with the passenger ship. And I even to put a light on it inside. So I had a friend over there who was a close friend. And when I finish one, I give it to him. I give it to him, then I get out of the boat, I come home. The boat's supposed to go around the California, you know. And when he went to California, he likes his drink and things like that. He went ashore in his bar room, he said, man had a boat today. He said, oh, you got a boat over here. He said, I got one board of the ship. I'll bring that tomorrow to you. So he gave away. When he gave that boat away, I find out, I said, you're no good. I said, all that job I put on that boat, I give it to you to take you home, you give away. I said, that's the way to do it. I used to run to Brazil, you know, back and forth. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me ask you a little bit about nowadays, the tools that you use and some of the materials. You said you use pine mostly for the wood.
Yeah.
Where do you get the wood?
I get the wood, scrap of wood, I put them together. I glue them together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I put them together. Yeah. Sometimes I used to go.
And what's the very first thing that you do when you start a new boat? Do you draw a picture?
Now I don't have it. I just see the ship.
In your mind?
Yeah. I just see the ship. I come in, I put it together.
What's the first part that you make?
The what?
What's the first thing that you do when you start a new ship?
The first thing I do,
yeah.
The belt on it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I put it together. Sometimes I take I take pencil, like draw like this. I look at it. Then I start to paint what size I want to make.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe about 12 inch or 14 inch. And then I draw them out because I got them over here. I see the ship, you know, the shape of the ship, you know. Now, when you see the bow of the ship go like that, and they got something in the bow around like that, and that thing, the bottom, the boat, all after, I think it was during the war or after the war,
mm-hmm.
they started putting them there. Because when the ship run, and that thing is on the bow, down the bow, and when it goes like that, the water go this way. Because if it had a sharp stern, the water would go like that, hit the propeller, they lose the time.
Mm-hmm.
But when he got that like that, the water goes like that. The ship make more time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you start by making the form of the ship.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what's the next thing? How does it, tell me from beginning to end, how do you make a boat?
The beginning to? Well, I start putting together and then a lot of things I put in my own ways, you know, different things if I want to put in there. And then, like I went on a cruise ship, I take the pitch, I watch around, you know, different, the shape of the house and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I built them.
And what, besides the pieces of pine wood, what other kinds of materials do you use?
I use only pine.
Yeah.
Okay, a soft work on it,
uh-huh.
you know.
But do you use other, there are lots of little pieces of wood. Are those all pine? All those teeny
yeah,
tiny
yeah,
pieces?
Yeah,
so no, you don't use toothpicks
I glue them good together.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, put a clamps on it.
Mm-hmm.
And
what about string and what other things do you use to make all of the little pieces?
Little pieces? Like the wood?
The wood or other parts to the ship. What other kinds of things do you use when you make the ship?
Oh, I used to, oh yeah. I used to use the coffee straw. That's wood.
Uh-huh.
The one is wood. With the thing, you know, when you open your mouth, it's that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 The tongue
depressor. I use those.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Then I use a lot of toothpick.
Mm-hmm.
Toothpick, I make the holes. I drill all the holes,
mm-hmm.
which today, you know, I got a lot of lies all over because I used to do that thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
And what about the rigging? Some of your ships have rigging.
Oh, the rigging.
Yeah.
The rigging, some is, in my head tell me, and I look at the ship, all the riggings I see like that, I said, that's a kidding. When I make a mine, they never come in apart.
Mm-hmm.
Because I made it a nylon, you know, when I make all the sight like that, I burn it.
Mm-hmm.
They never come in apart.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you see, they make the model, it's the plastic.
Mm-hmm.
Mine never come in apart.
And you use nylon, you said?
Nylon. Yeah, uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
That will last for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
is there metal? Are there metal parts on the ships? Metal? Metal like metal?
The metal?
Chains and?
Chain?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, chain? I for the ankle.
Uh-huh.
I get this rubber chain that you use in your neck,
uh-huh.
the one of a certain kind. I make the chain,
uh-huh.
I make the things to give out the that chain of the ankle, you know. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of.
And tell me again about, you started to talk about the little people.
Oh, the little
downstairs, yeah.
Little people, I went all over. Couldn't find, I went to Boston, couldn't find. I said no. So So one day I'm coming home, I said, I'm gonna try it. It's like that. Some I had to hold the twizzle, you know, because it's so small, I can't grab like that with a finger to work on. So I make that, and then now I have no trouble. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
And then you paint the little people?
I paint it.
And the ships,
yeah,
sometimes, or
yeah,
varnish?
I paint the ships. Some I put a, you know, put a light like a polyurethane on it,
mm-hmm,
so they can show the work that I got on it,
mm-hmm,
you know. Because you paint, nobody believes it, says, well, maybe he's kidding or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's to show you that I drill those things like that. You know, sometimes, a lot of times I drill it, they're broken, I throw that away, make another one,
mm-hmm,
because they're so small.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got all kinds of the drill. I got a drill more fine than the needle. Yeah.
Hmm.
Wow.
So the drill is important, and when we were downstairs,
yeah,
you have the chisel.
Now
what
I got
a bag of
drill press now.
Oh, yeah.
Smaller drill press.
Yeah.
Then it's easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to make those eye thing. I used to drill maybe about 3 holes on. Actually, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all by this.
Oh, by turning the...
Yeah,
oh,
I get drilled by hand. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, obviously, you love to do this.
Oh, I love it. You know, I stay down there. My wife going to work. First thing you know, when they come home, and she had a lunch, I said, hey, come on for lunch.
Hmm. Is there one model that you're most proud of? What's the one that's your favorite that you've made?
Oh yeah, but every one I make, if I make one today, I'll be proud of it. The next one is coming a little better.
Mm-hmm.
The next one coming a little more better, until like that. I keep going like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I love more,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I love more. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how many do you think you've made in your lifetime?
Oh, it's quite a few. I can tell you, let me see. Whew. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 13 or 14.
Who has seen these models?
Huh?
Who knows about your models? You were saying that sometimes people come to see the models.
Yeah, the friend of mine, all different, they find out, they come in here, and they watch it. Then sometimes they call me and says, can I bring a friend to see it? When they come in, I say, this is not a kit. Yes, everything is by hand, mainline.
Now, are some of these people ones that you worked with when you were in the Merchant Marine?
Yeah, some of them, some not.
And what is their reaction when they
those
ships?
Yeah, yeah.
Does it help them to remember what it was like on the ships?
Especially now, my wife sent the standard time to California.
Mm.
To my family there, you know. All that, we still get the card all the time, here, telephone call, you know.
But I would guess that the Merchant Mariners who come gets them to talking about old times and...
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Let me ask you, we've just been talking off the tape about some of your recognition lately,
okay,
through this newspaper article, but you were saying you're members of the...
We are members of, both board members of the ExxonMobil Annuance Club.
And there's a fair number of people who...
And this is the only club in southeastern Massachusetts where almost 100% of the retirees they all shipped out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now coming with mobile, we'll see, they'll probably be engineers, driving a truck, or,
mm-hmm,
you know, it'll be different.
Mm-hmm.
And majority of them were Cape Verdeans as well. When they came over to visit some of the members to see the boats, they're in a state of awe.
Mm-hmm.
and
so there are a lot of Cape Verdeans who went into Merchant Marine.
Oh, definitely. 90% of the Exxon Annuance Club, as we speak today, is Cape Verdean.
Wow.
Cape Verdean.
And are they primarily from Brava or from all of?
Mm-hmm.
Primarily Brava.
Yeah.
No. Let me see. From the Exxon, I had one built. I got that picture, but that is coming good. You know, I mailed that to Exxon. It was in the Exxon magazine.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they put an Exxon magazine.
Now, I would think, you know, we started talking about the importance of the merchant marine during the war and just in terms of commerce in the country as well.
Yeah.
It seems like it would be a neat teaching tool for students, you know? I mean, if you could show some of your work even in, you know, in a high school or whatever.
I've already suggested that.
Yeah.
That I suggested
and just
that
talk about, I mean, talk like we're talking about some of your experiences.
Yeah. You know,
maybe the kids wouldn't be so, they could learn a craft, would keep them off the streets.
That too.
You know what, I see a lot of, because in Europe, like Spain,
mm-hmm.
place like that, they make those model ship, whole man. And one day, they display that to win the prize.
Mm-hmm.
And I see some, they send them over here. There's on the William Street in there. They for sale. When I get in there, I see the price of those things. I said, what? I don't believe it. They're not like mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just from the get, over $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Next time when I go there, they're all gone. I said, this is something.
Do you have children?
Huh?
Do you have children?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Are any of them, have any of them taken up any of the skill of wood carving?
No.
Or? No.
Mm-mm.
He has two sons.
Yeah.
One lives in the Cape, Charles, and he has a son, Danny, who lives in West Virginia Beach, Virginia. They're both retired from the services.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Actually, Navy, Danny. Air Force for Charles.
Mm-hmm.
And he has three granddaughters.
So the naval guy sort of followed in his footsteps
right.
a little bit.
And Danny's really into computers.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And they have three three granddaughters.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Natino, who is a nurse, registered nurse at St. Luke's Hospital. Lovely young lady. Followed by her sister, Elizabeth,
mm-hmm.
who works for an attorney. And then there's Layla, who lives in Wyoming.
Hmm?
I have not had the pleasure of meeting Layla.
Now, they are children of Charles?
The two olders, Susan and Betty are Charles, and Layla is Danny's daughter.
Oh.
Okay. And he has one great-grandson.
Congratulations.
Richard.
Okay. Richard. Uh-huh.
As I was talking about, you know, the recognition since that article,
mm-hmm.
that article has the secretary of the ExxonMobil Annuance Club has sent this to the headquarters in Houston, Texas,
mm-hmm.
to see if they will display it in their Exxon lamp that's named their magazine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, it seems like it's long overdue,
mm-hmm.
as you were saying.
And we just got a card from another cousin who's named after him,
mm-hmm.
after their grandfather, who stated, I didn't know my grandfather. I didn't know any of this. And I look forward to sitting down, getting the history.
Mm-hmm.
So yes.
Has anyone ever asked you to teach them any of this?
Those things you know, you gotta have patience.
Yeah, to teach.
You gotta have patience. I don't work no ship every day. I work when I sit down to work, I don't stop.
Yeah. Well, you think about that man you were describing who taught you.
If I don't, I don't feel good, I don't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
And when he feels good, look out. You can't get him.
Yeah.
Banging on this floor is my way of communicating with him to come on upstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And have you ever exhibited any of your models outside of this house?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Club Newport.
Westport.
Newport. They went to the museum and they tell them about the thing, the ship I was built for. So the give me a call. They got a peep from New Jersey and all different places.
Mm-hmm.
To this club,
mm-hmm.
Newport. They understand I built those model ship. if they can see it. So the man and the woman, they come in here, they look at it. They told me, he said, you want to give that to us so we can display it in our club, because we have some sort of meeting or whatever it is. And we got to put it in insurance. Because if anything happened to it, I just, okay. So when they come in, they pick up the boat, if they put them in the insurance, $30,000, I don't believe, my gosh, I said, whoa, boy. And I says, all right. Then when they, certain day they called, and so I went down, I pick them up, mm-hmm. bring them home, run the boat down.
Now, this club, was it a club of model makers, or?
No.
I think it was. He said Newport, but
Newport,
I thought.
Newport, a regular high society club, anyhow.
Yeah.
So then I displayed that on our club, white.
White.
Because
uh-huh.
we had the people from my company,
big man,
come in there with his wife. We display in there too,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And years back, and one of those boats down there that I still made with Turkey,
mm-hmm.
it was displayed on, what's the name of that?
Stasco?
No, the guy got a store there, cards in downtown. Samash.
Oh, Samash.
The old Samash.
Oh, yeah,
not
sure.
The old man, Samash, his father. Display on his store. It was Union Street
mm-hmm.
at that time, you know? Yeah. So that's where everybody went.
Now, tell me, I don't know if we even got as far as when you went from being a cook to you became a chief steward.
I got for so many years.
Yeah,
from there I put him about 24 years as chief steward.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is, I have about 7 or 8, don't know what we had, 10. And then afterward they started cutting down, and I have about 7 or 8 men under me.
Mm-hmm.
I have chief cook, second cook, the other man, 2-3 men serve on the table. I got 2 men make up the rooms and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
All under me, you know. I order the store maybe for 7-8 months
mm-hmm.
trip. Yeah.
Now, when you were on the ships, you were on one for 10 years and one for 9 years. How would you have time off, just the 15 days?
We used to work that time, 3 months on, 1 month off with the pay,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And so then would you come back to New Bedford? Was
oh, yes,
your
I come back home.
At that time, yeah.
I come back home, that's why I do a lot of those little jobs down there, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if I we spend more than 3 months, we got sometimes 40, 50, 60 days off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And did you do some model making during the time off?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do model making, take a trip and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when did you retire?
I got more time than I retired. I retired in 1972.
Mm-hmm.
Next year be 30 years.
Wow.
I put 37 years in it.
Do you miss it?
Huh?
Do you miss the work?
Well, yes, but not to go to work today now.
Yeah.
You know, before we used to carry about 46 man on a crew. You know how much is now? 20. 20, one of those boats they got now is over 1,000 feet long, 100 to so many feet across. And they don't even come into Boston because not enough water to dock there.
Mm-hmm.
They have to discharge some of the cargo outside,
mm-hmm.
then they come in, you know? And because today on the new ship, they got everything a load and discharge by computers. Mm-hmm. There's a man sit down over here, hide from the computers, and when they load this tank here, load the other tank, you press the button. When the tank is full, the lights come in, shut it off. Mm-hmm. Years ago, they used to have maybe about 3 or 4 men on the deck work there. They had a valve, big valve like that. And the man would, then when the tanks come into full, they do like that, they give a turn. The man said, 1, 2 turn. They give 2 turn. When the tanks come in, and you see, they have with things they watch like that, and they shut off. Mm. You know, but today is.
Also, recognition should be given to not only my husband, but to many of the retirees that did the cooking in the church kitchen, Lake of Assumption. Mm. Because they kept that church going for many a year. Cape Verdeans were great at that time, that when we had them, someone died after the funeral, there would be a big breakfast downstairs, mm-hmm. and people would come together and prepare that. And he spent a lot of time doing that along with his friends. I also did a lot of time in the kitchen. Nowadays, you're not seeing too much of that. Mm. Nowadays, you're seeing it being done in a restaurant, and a lot of young folks have gotten away from that. Young folks don't know how to make the phone.
Well, I was going to ask, on the ships, I don't imagine you were cooking Cape Verdean food. Some? Were you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some.
Even American. When they started, they liked it, too.
Were there lots of Cape Verdeans on the ships that you were on, too? So they must have really liked it. It would be like a taste of home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have one more question. I'm hoping the tape will hold out. I'm just curious, are there other people here in New Bedford that you know of that I should know about? You know,
in
other
terms of their talent?
Yeah. And either people who do things with their hands.
I had a friend. But